Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, my friends. It's Friday.
Yahoo!
Are you into Friday? Okay, you having fun yet? So, you know what? Hey, I think this is the first day of Libras too, isn't it? So let's do a little bit, not a forecast, but let's do a little thing about Libras because I have a friend who's a Libra and I thought I'd throw it out there. We're going to talk about love though, love and relationships. So I have some articles on that. I'll let my spirit guides talk to you about that. If you have any, you want any messages about love from your ancestors or a famous person, we can do that. Famous dead person, that is. Not live person, dead person. Yeah, those who have passed and in the non-physical world. I like that. Yeah, have done their ascension into the non-physical world. Let's just describe it that way. So if anybody's interested in getting a message from somebody, we can do that. It would be fun. Not just fun, but it'd be entertaining or it'll be enlightening or whatever word you want to use. So that, yeah. So, but today is also the first day of autumn. A little greeting for everyone. Just think, Halloween is only a month away. Woohoo! This is my favorite time of year. I don't mind the warmer days, but the cooler nights and the warmer days, and it doesn't get so hot. Even when it's like 90 here during the day, you know, heats up, but then it cools off at night. And you can take that walk when it's, you know, getting dark and it's got to put a sweater on or a sweatshirt. It's not t-shirt weather anymore, my friends. I don't know, different parts of the country. Some people already have snow. Up in Northern California, they have snow. How fun is that, huh? I'm not really. So, yeah, as I think I've mentioned before, it looks like sometime early next year I'll be moving to Colorado. Hopefully the snow is over for the season so I can get ready for the next season of snow, but I doubt it. Yeah, then I'll have real autumn. With the leaves turning colors and all kinds of fun things and the four seasons. We have two seasons in Southern California. We have summer and what we call winter, rainy season. Summer and rainy season, I guess the best way to describe it. I think it gets cooler, but it's not like snow cooler. Okay, so what are we going to talk about? I'm going to take your calls. That's what I wanted to do today. I want you to call in. And I want you to get some messages on relationships and marriage. So, first of all, I'm going to give you a little bit. I just thought of this, so I'm kind of not quite prepared. So, I give you some Libra traits because it's September 23rd is actually the first day of Libra. That's tomorrow, so I won't be on the air tomorrow. So, we'll do a little Libra thing. Maybe I should do that for Scorpio next month. I'm a Scorpio with all kinds of stuff going on. Now you know that. The full chart is really more important, and with your ascending and your moon and your ascending and all the houses, and you know, you have to do the whole thing, but this is fun. Okay, just take this as fun. Strengths of a Libra: cooperative, diplomatic, gracious, fair-minded, and social. The weaknesses of a Libra: indecisive, avoids confrontations, will carry a grudge, self-pity. That sounds kind of negative, right? So, okay, Libra's likes are harmony, gentleness, sharing with others, the outdoors. Now, if you're a Libra, tell me if any of this matches up with you. Are any of this like you, right? And this is from Love Compatibility, Astrology, ZodiacSigns.com. Now, you can take or leave whatever you want to believe in. Libra's dislikes: violence, injustice, loudmouths, and conformity. What do you think? Is that true? Not true. Okay, so we want to get into the compatibility. We could do that. Maybe we can do a little bit of that. And then we'll play a little bit more. How's that? And then we'll get into love and relationships. And I thought, well, since we're talking about love and relationships, maybe what we can do is we can talk a little bit about the compatibility. Libra compatibility. Okay. And what is your sign? Do you want give me one of your signs, and we'll read about the compatibility between you and another one, right? Okay, I'll give you one. I'll give you an Aries. Now, they would seem to be contradictory to each other. I should do Scorpio. Ooh, let's do Scorpio, right? Let's do Scorpio. I'm a Scorpio. Libra and Scorpio make an intense couple as they awaken the darkest sexual side in each other. Their relationship cannot be satisfying if they don't build on their lives independently. Ooh, that's pretty good, huh? This is an intense couple in every way, and the sexual relationship is something truly and exciting and challenging at the same time. What do you think? I don't know. Okay, so what I will do is I will ask you, what's your sign, and are you a Libra? I already told you about Libras, right? But you can get back to me and I can play with this a little bit. We'll have some fun. This is about love and relationships. So what's your astrology sign? What's your sign? What's my sign? I'm born on a street, born under a bad sign, right? Okay. We're back to where we were. I'm just kind of get back into this thing off of Libra, and I'm going to get into it. I think I'll let my spirit guides talk to you first and see if anybody wants to talk to me, and if anybody has any questions, anybody wants some information. Okay. Do you? I'm kind of all over the place today. I had to go to the doctor. I had a regular appointment with my doctor, and all my tests came back pretty well. My blood pressure is a little off, and I think I'm going to try to deal with that at a different level versus the traditional take a pill, using my mindfulness and so forth and so on to deal with that. What do you think? I could do it. I think I can do it. So what are we doing today? I'm looking for something to read to you, and I can't find it right now, and it's kind of gone away. Okay, it went away. I lost something I was going to read to you. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. I'm a little off today. Okay, here we go. Okay, so what are we doing? Okay. We're going to let my spirit guides talk to you. Going to take some calls. Going to talk about love and relationships. I have a couple articles on that. I have an article on how do you know if you're in love? What do you think about that, huh? How do you know that you're in love? Another one is 10 definite ways to tell you're in love with the right person. Kind of around that theme today, so I thought I'd stick with it. What it really means if you love your partner, but you're not in love with them. I thought that was an interesting article. So we can do that. Maybe we'll do that last. I want to do the other ones first. And then the other one is 18 signs you found your soulmate. So there's a lot of information, but I'd rather talk to you and rather get into what spirit has to say about your particular situation, love, and maybe the relationship you're in or wanting to be in. Is it going to work out? Is it not going to work out? What's that other person all about? And that's what I do for people. I get calls all the time about relationships and will they work out? What about this other person? So if you want kind of I guess you would call it coaching, reading on relationships, because I read people really well. So I can read your partner. We can get into the depth of what your partner is feeling about you. It's really more about the feeling than it is the thinking. But there's a little bit of that because I'm not reading minds. I'm just getting into the emotional base. Okay. Just getting deeply into the emotional base. So what are we doing? Okay. So I'm going to let my spirit guides talk to you about love and relationships, see what they have to say to you. And the Sarah group, the group of spiritual teachers and masters that come together. And usually there's one in the group that has, you know, specifically a interest and a typical topic. So I don't know who this is, but it's part of a group, which is a very cool thing. Okay. So I'm going to go away and let them come in. Love has always been the driving force on your planet. You know, you could call it love for yourself. Some people would put the terminology of survival in there, that it's love is nothing more than love for yourself is nothing more than survival. But it's also having good feelings about yourself, being confident in yourself, respecting yourself. So love for oneself drives you to survive, drives you to do the things to take care of yourself, your health, your diet, your exercising. So if you love yourself, you're caring for yourself. So that's always been a driving thing. The survival thought, you know, love of oneself keeps you from jumping off of cliffs and being eaten by dinosaurs and saber-toothed tigers and in your modern age, driving carefully and on the highways and doing other things, being cautious in certain situations. So you love yourself. Now you might call it survival. We call it love because you want to continue. You enjoy the body you're in. You love the body you're in. You loved doing things with in the human form and in the environment you're in. So you love yourself. Now, you didn't think we're going to talk about that, right? But that's the first step. That's the first thing in love, the survival thing, to keep going, to appreciate who you are, right? That's the first step. The second part is the love for somebody else. It's because you appreciate that person. Now, you deal with chemistry. You deal with the connection between two people that George is going to talk about. But the love of somebody else is really about appreciation for that other person. It's appreciation on that erotic sexual plane, but it goes deeper than that. It's the friendship that two people have for each other. It's that connection that you have with another person that goes much deeper than the sexual aspects. I mean, people in their 90s can still be in love with each other, or they can be, you know, or you can be in love with somebody at a much earlier age, but it's the love is the appreciation for what that person, who that person is. You appreciate, you respect that person for who they are. You admire that person. You hold that person up as being a wonderful human being. But it's always a reflection of you in there. It's always a reflection because what that person, what you admire in a person is either something you see in yourself that you admire, or there's something in you that you just lack a little bit of, that you see in that other person, so you appreciate that. So they come into your life, not that they make you whole per se, because people talk about when I get, you know, when I find my right partner, I will be whole. Well, you won't be whole. You'll still have your challenges, you'll still have your weaknesses. But if you find somebody in your life that you love, that you have great chemistry with, that you care about deeply, their strengths that may not be your strengths, they don't necessarily make you whole, but they make a relationship whole, the unit whole, not the individual whole. So you're not expecting some other person to fill in you what you may be lacking, but what they do fill in is the relationship. Let's compare that a little bit, and we've written about this, is the idea. Let's take an organization, a team, an organization. George enjoys certain sports. We'll use baseball, for example, or football. It doesn't matter. Any kind of sport, hockey, golf. And well, not so much golf. It has to be a team sport. If you take the sport and you see the individual members of the sport, they have different skills and abilities. Some people are great pitchers in baseball. Some people are great hitters in baseball. Some people can play the outfield and are fast and do certain things really, really well. Some people can, a great catcher, for example. So they don't necessarily, because you're a great catcher, doesn't make necessarily the first baseman a better person. No. But it brings an individual talent and ability into the team that the first baseman can't do, the pitcher can't do necessarily. They would have a difficult time being a catcher and a pitcher. So it's for the benefit of the team. So let's look at that in a more of a micro kind of thing in a unit, a couple between two people. Now, a lot of you know this, but we're just emphasizing the value of what love is and what love brings into a relationship, and it's the components of the relationship that are so important, because you bring strengths and weaknesses into a relationship, into the couple, into that circle, that family unit. Let's just use the word family unit here. Into the family unit, you're bringing your strengths and you're bringing your weaknesses in, and your partner, you appreciate your partner for their strengths, but also for the weaknesses. And there's that male masculine components that go into that also, that they male and female offer different components and different strengths and weaknesses within that dynamic also, but also in the skill sets and the abilities of an individual. So if a person, let's say one is very organized and one is really good at taking care of paperwork and paying the bills, and while the other person is a little more laid back and not quite as intense about that sort of thing, well, then the responsibility falls to the one individual. It doesn't make the other person any better or any stronger or anything else, but it makes the team stronger. It makes the team a better unit. And recognizing that in a relationship is really important. Recognizing your strengths and weaknesses between two people or three people, whatever the size of your family is, but it's recognizing the strengths and weaknesses of that, of each individual, and how they merge together and how they make the unit more complete, the unit more adaptable to various situations. We're saying is that if you appreciate somebody, their talents and their abilities and who they are, and you bring that person into the relationship, that doesn't necessarily strengthen you, doesn't make you a better an accountant or financial planner in the relationship, but it brings more of that talent and ability into the relationship. Now, you still have the glue. You still have the chemistry. You still have the attraction. You still have that the intangibles that you that you bring into a relationship to make the relationship stronger, but those components that you bring into a relationship, the feminine and the masculine components, and the abilities and talents that you bring into the relationship, make the relationship stronger, the relationship more dynamic, the relationship better to cope in the challenges that are in the world, that you've and in society that you face in the world. So that's the dynamic of a relationship. Appreciating a person's talents and abilities, which are different from you, as we've been trying to state to you, because we want you to really understand this point, doesn't make you necessarily a stronger person, a more complete person. You are who you are. You are complete within you who you are. But you're bringing that person is bringing talents and abilities and emotional base, which is different than yours, that rounds out your relationship. You know, any organization, you have the accountants and you have the marketing directors and you have the sales directors and you have the CEOs and you have the production managers. Each one has their strengths and abilities they bring into an organization, which makes the organization more complete and stronger. The stronger the components in an organization, the stronger the organization. Same thing with the family unit. The stronger the components, the more value they bring into it, just makes the unit stronger. Doesn't necessarily make the other person stronger or more adaptive to the situation, but it completes the unit. Okay, you understand what we're saying? So go out there and love. Have a loving relationship. Appreciate each other's talents and abilities. Appreciate it when they're different than yours, because they're bringing something into the unit that makes the unit more diverse, stronger, more adaptable to any situation that comes up. So really honor your partner. Appreciate your partner for what they bring into the relationship. And love is based on this appreciation and the chemistry and just the balance of the two people and what they do to bring to the unit. So thank you for listening. That's our take on love today. Bye. Okay, I'm back. Well, that was a little different take. I've heard kind of something very similar from spirit before. You know, it's really fascinating. But that's so kind of so true, isn't it? And I'll forget what they said in a little while, but it's so true. Being in a relationship doesn't make you a better person necessarily. I mean, you could improve from it. You can learn from a relationship. You can learn from the strengths of your partner, right? But it doesn't necessarily, as they said, make you a better accountant or financial manager in a relationship, right? But it makes the unit more complete. It makes the unit more adaptable to society. I love that. That's a beautiful statement. So anybody want to have a relationship? No. So you look for that in a partner, don't you? You look for in a partner for people that fill in. It's like a painting, right? It's like adding different colors to the painting. Now, some people are all blues or purples or and all these dark tones, right? And some people have those lighter tones, the pastels and the lighter colors, right? And then they blend together and they make this beautiful painting. And that's what you're doing with a relationship. You're bringing those both in there and making this magnificent, beautiful relationship. So it's the relationship. The most important thing is the relationship and not necessarily the individual components. And you still have your needs. You still take care of yourself. You love yourself, right? Okay, so we're going to talk more about relationships and let my spirit guides talk to you about it if you're interested or if you have a question for one of your ancestors on relationships, we'll do that. It's always fun, right? You know, those dead people, as I like to call them. So let me get into an article and I'll check back and if anybody wants to call in. Or if I always throw this out there, and if there's a famous person that you'd be kind of, I wonder what this person's going on, you know, how are they doing in the non-physical world, you know, how I really appreciated their art or their music or whatever they did or their business acumen, is that the right word? I don't know, whatever, the business abilities, whatever their talent, maybe they're an architect. If you want to hear from them, if I can get a message, cool. If I can't, they're just not connecting with me today. That's okay. That's okay. So if there's any famous people that you'd like to get a quick message from, we'll do that. Now, I will go back into if you want my spirit guides to talk to you directly, you can contact me through my website and through my Facebook page too. My website, my email address or my phone number, and generally those sessions are about a minimum of 10 minutes because I'll channel for you what they have to say to you about your specific situation and, you know, love or whatever else is going on. Maybe you need business guides. Maybe you need somebody to talk to you about your business, spirit guide to kind of channel for you about what's going on in your business or your personal other aspects of your personal life. Oh, I do have a caller. So hopefully we're on the same wavelength. I never know because we're talking about love and relationships and what my spirit guides or your ancestors have to say to you about love or maybe a famous person. I don't know. Let me take a call. Restricted, which is always an interesting number. It means they don't want me to know what the number is, right? You can't know what this number is. I'm hiding it from you. So let me take the restricted. It's always kind of mysterious what can be on the other end of a mysterious call, a restricted call. Hello.
Hi, George. I dialed in through Google Hangouts, which is why it says restricted.
Oh, okay. So what's going on? So what's your take on love?
My take on love is just to be patient and hopeful, and love happens.
Patient and hopeful. Do you know what? Okay, going back to what my spirit guide said, and I'm using you as an example here, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. What are the strengths of a person that you would want to have in a relationship that you feel would not make you better, but would round out the relationship? Looking at yourself and perhaps how you function in life, what would be the thing or things about another person that would help complete the unit? Do you understand the difference?
I do, yes.
It's like in business, you got a CEO, you got a CFO, you got all these different responsibilities, but they make the unit stronger. You know,
yeah.
The marketing manager isn't going to be the accountant, obviously. It doesn't work that well. Okay, so any thoughts on that?
Yeah, specifically for me, I'm good in planning. I'm not very spontaneous. So someone who's very spontaneous would be a good partner for me.
You found one. So that should be on your list of asking the universe. I'd like to have somebody who's spontaneous to come into my life. It'll balance out the unit, right?
Right.
It's not necessarily going to make you more spontaneous, but it'll make the situation more spontaneous. Does that make sense? You may not go with it. You may say, oh, that's crazy. Right. You know what I mean? But at least
exactly.
It brings balance into the relationship. No, but this is your homework too. I got it as this is your homework that you need to sit down and think of two or three things that you would want in a person that would help bring balance into a relationship. Think about your strengths, what you bring into a relationship, right? And then think about, okay, what rounds out the relationship? What are the strengths from another person that would round out the relationship? Like you said, being more spontaneous than you are. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
In some relationships, one person's an extrovert and the other person's an introvert. That kind of rounds out the relationship a little bit too, doesn't it?
Yeah, that'll apply to me as well.
Yeah, because sometimes, but you know, in some cases, that can cause a lot of friction too. But that's all right. So, what do you think about that?
Yes, I like the concept. Thank you.
Okay, so do your homework. Do your homework.
Yeah, sure.
Write out a few things that would help balance a relationship. Not you particularly. You're not going to change dynamically, but you're going to at least bring somebody into your life that will balance out the situation a little bit. The relationship, the family. Let's call it a family. Okay?
Okay. Any messages from spirits or ancestors about love and relationship, particularly about me, for me?
Positive about the outcomes in work, because you're on a good track to continue and have continuity in work. It'll continue to unfold in front of you like it's like the road unfolding in front of you. It's so that you will have continual work, but just stay positive about that. That knowing that it's continue to open up. Doors will continue to open up. Does that make sense?
Is this about work or about love?
Work. This is about work.
Oh.
This is about work.
Okay.
It will continue to, doors will continue to open. Just stay positive about that. Got it?
Got it. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care.
And you.
I didn't know you could call in through Google Hangouts if anybody's interested. But that's interesting, isn't it? I didn't know that. Now, some people call in on Skype. Some people use their cell phones. So there's different ways to communicate to find out what's going on. So anybody else have a question on love or relation? Now, that wasn't about love, but that was something that Spirit wanted to give him information on, which is, you know, in the need, that's really important. In the need, that's so important. Anybody excited about Halloween coming up? I am. I don't know if everybody celebrates Halloween or is into Halloween. I've got Halloween coming up. I kind of enjoy this time of the year. It's kind of fun. So I'm welcoming in autumn, you know, full bore, cooler evenings, warmer days, you know, a little bit of rain. Woo! And looking forward to my move next year where it's going to be all four seasons. Okay, let's get into love a little bit. Let me give you an article on love. I got 15 minutes. Maybe we'll just do one article. And this is from Psychology Today. It sounds very formal, right? But it's kind of a nice thing. How do you know if you're in love? Teresa DiDonato, PhD. Okay, that's the author of this particular article. Now, I should If you're with me on Facebook, I'll post it to Facebook so you can read this yourself. You don't have to rely on me. You can tune me out now. Okay. No. Okay. The answer can change so much about your life and how you interact with a current or potential partner, to how you view yourself, to what goals you have for the future. Think you might be in love? Gain some insight in considering these research-based signs of love and attachment. You're addicted to this person. There was a little song back in the 80s, Addicted to Love. Robert Palmer. Remember that song? Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love, with the dancing girls in the back that are all dressed to look like. Never mind, we won't go there. Love changes the brain. In the early stage relationships, the euphoria that people feel appears as a heightened neuroactivity in the dopamine-rich areas of the brain. You know, it's all chemicals, right? It's the brain. Chemicals of the brain, right? Areas that link to reward system and areas associated with the pursuits of rewards. There's even some hint of activity in the anterior cingulate, the area of the brain linked to obsessive thinking, which is a classic experience when people are falling in love. As a relationship progresses into a long-term partnership, thinking about the partner activates the reward centers as well as the brain areas, but less obsessive thinking. I had to paraphrase that a little bit. It's kind of interesting, though, that people miss this point. And I'm really into this stuff because I think it's really important, because we miss the idea that if you're really connected to somebody, some people, well, we're just going to become friends. Nah, it doesn't work that way. But you can be friends. And I'm going to get into this a little bit more. And I'm really, because this is one of my little bugs about people that say, well, I just want to be friends. I just want a friend. But you never have a really great romantic relationship if you're just friends. Okay, so number two. What do you think? You really want your friends or family to like this person. New evidence shows that people are often motivated to marshal support for someone they are dating, which is consistent with the idea that people in a person's social circle often play an important part in the success of a relationship. Being attuned to how your family and friends might think about your partner or potential partner is a good sign that you're become increasingly attached to that person. Yeah, you want to get them in the circle. You want to get them in the tribe. You want them to be part of the tribe, right? So if you have a boyfriend or if you're dating somebody and you really want them to get meet your family, now maybe your family's a bit strange like mine. Maybe you go, I don't know. I don't know if I want to bring them into this tribe. Maybe I want to be part of their tribe, right? Really want to be part of their tribe. But yeah, but that's that thing that you want to bring into. So you have that chemistry. Your brain lights up when you first meet somebody and you start to date somebody, and it just lights up and you become obsessed on that person. That's a good thing. Now, you can be friends. You could be workmates for a while, but I've always heard and I've known from people telling me that even if you're working with somebody, there is a time in that workplace, that situation where it clicks, where the obsession takes place, where the brain kicks in or the chemicals kick in and you're really obsessed on someone. It's something they do, something they say. Maybe you work through a situation. Maybe it's because you work through a crisis together. That'll kick it. That'll kick into place, right? And you get to admire that person, and that chemical start flowing, and then wow, now you're obsessed in a good way, not in a bad way. Okay, number three. How much time do I have? I don't know. I can never find what I'm looking for. So the obsession takes place. If you don't have the obsession in a good way, right, the chemical thing, then you really don't have a relationship. Sorry, folks. You don't have that love. You have a friendship. And people don't get that when I talk to them. They don't get that point because they just want friends. or they want something else from you, right? Okay, you celebrate this person's triumphs even when you yourself fail. If you're falling in love with someone, you probably have an atypical reaction when witnessing them excelling at something you don't, because romantic partners feel connected and can share the outcomes of each other's successes. Romantic partners will often feel pride and positive emotions when they see their partners succeed. Isn't that cool? Even at something they themselves can't do, rather than feeling negative and inferior. And it goes back to what my spirit guide said earlier. It's like, because this person is bringing something into the relationship, into the family, I'll use the word family here, that you celebrate that because you're rounding out the family. They're bringing something in, and their accomplishments make the family, the situation, more whole. You definitely like this person. I like that. And this person likes you. Liking is different from love, but is often falling in love. In a cross-cultural study, researchers showed that a critical factor recognized as directly preceding fall in love is reciprocal liking. You got to like the person first, right? When both clearly like each other. In addition, an evaluation of the other person's personality, highly desirable tends to be a precursor to falling in love. And let me read that sentence again because it was a little bit confusing. In addition, an evaluation of the other person's personality is highly desirable. And we're back to that rounding out the situation. You really like the personality. Maybe you're a little bit on the shy side and you really love the outgoing nature of the other person, right? Or maybe they're just a fun person and you just love that. Or you both are just like to travel and, oh, wow, this is so cool because now we can fall in love. We can travel together. We can see the world together. So you see in that personality, maybe they're quiet and studious and you have a tendency to be that way. You need that balance in your life. In your situation. Nah, not in you, but in when I say in your life, I mean in your situation. Number five. Oh, do I have time for number five? Oh, yeah, I have lots of time. Cool. This is good. Good stuff, right? You really miss the person when you're apart. In many ways, how much you miss a person reflects how interdependent your lives have become. If you are questioning whether you love someone, perhaps consider how much you miss him or her when you are apart. A study showed that how much people miss each other tends to correspond at how much they are committed to feel to their relationship. So if you really miss somebody, really miss them, then maybe you are in love with that person. And you didn't recognize, oh, am I in love with this person? Let them go away for a few days. Don't communicate. Say, okay, let's test this. Let's see if we really care about each other, how deeply we care. You go away, I'll go away. And let's try not to talk for a couple of days and see what happens. And if we really start missing each other, it won't last a couple of days. It'll be a few hours. No, I got to talk to them. I absolutely have to talk to them. I have to connect. We have to go get coffee. Right? That's love. Boom, done. You know, get the wedding bells ready. You got a love thing going on here if you're not married already. I've heard of married couples. You know, they've been together for 20, 30 years, but they won't go a day or two without talking to each other. I remember this one gentleman who's a high-level political figure. Not in politics, but around politics. And he traveled a lot for I don't know who. But he would talk about him and his wife because they both were very busy in their own business world. But they made it a point that they had to talk every evening. Every evening they had to talk. They had to keep that connection going because they did miss each other. And, you know, when you miss somebody, Don't you feel like you have to share something with that person? Like, I really wanted to talk to you. I really wanted to share this with you. And they're doing the same reciprocal thing. They're going, yeah, I really wanted to talk to you too. I really wanted to share something with you. Then you know you're in love. Then you're really in love. Isn't that cool? It's amazing, right? Your sense of self has grown through knowing this person. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Your sense of self has grown through knowing this person. When you fall in love, their whole sense of their whole sense of self changes. They take on new traits and characteristics, growing in the diversity of their self concept through the influence of their new relationship partner. In other words, the you before falling in love is different than the you after falling in love. You know, they call that rubbing off the edges a little bit, you know, shifting the edges a little bit, shifting a little bit about you so that you fit better into this new unit. Maybe you feel the difference. Maybe others notice it. But the things you care about, your habits, how you spend your time, and all of this, this is subject to the influence of your new romantic partner. Maybe you don't watch TV as much. Maybe, you know, maybe that other person reads more books and you thought, you know what, I appreciate that a lot. I'm going to read more books. And I know for certain that this, one of the things that makes a person a little calmer, a little more at peace, a little more relaxed, because you're no longer looking for something to fill something into your life or to be part of something. I think it really, the answer really there is to be part of something. You're now part of something. You have a unit to be part of. And that's really a fulfilling thing, isn't it? Really? Isn't that a beautiful thought? You're now part of something. And your attitudes and things shift and change. I like the next one a lot. It's a very good one. You get jealous but not suspicious. A certain amount of jealousy is actually healthy, not toxic. From an evolutionary perspective, jealousy is an adaptation that helps relationships stay intact by making its members sensitive to potential threats. People who are jealous tend to be more committed to the relationships. Let me read that again, because that's a biggie. That's huge in our discussion about relationships. Now, this is from Psychology Today. This is not my thought. You can reject it or accept it. People who are jealous tend to be more committed to relationships. Keep the jealousy in check, though. Reactive or emotional jealousy is the type that is predicted by positive relationship factors like dependency and trust. But people who engage suspicious jealousy, which includes taking actions like secretly checking a person's cell phone, tends to be associated with rational anxiety, low self-esteem, and chronic insecurity. Let me read that again, because so you can see the difference. And this is cool stuff, very important stuff. In looking at your own relationships, how are you reacting? Are you from an emotional jealousy, or are you from the suspicious jealousy, which includes taking actions like secretly checking a partner's cell phone, tends to be associated with relational anxiety, low self-esteem, and chronic insecurity. So you have to take a look at yourself. How are you reacting to the situation? How are you doing? Are you communicating your thoughts, your feelings about it? Are you, or are you just kind of always checking that cell phone? It's not a healthy way of being jealous, because you want to maintain the unit. And that's like, as they said, it's an evolutionary process of maintaining the unit as long as you possibly can, right? Okay, we're having fun. Now, I'm almost out of time here. What I'm going to do. Oh, I got this article twice, but I did post it, so you can read it. So I've had fun today. So if you want me to help you and let my spirit guides assist you in your relationships and learn more about your relationships and practice more things in your relationships. And we'll delve into, you know, articles. I love to do research, and I let my spirit guides encourage me to do research into subjects. And so if I don't have the answer, I'll look it up or ask my spirit guides. You know, if I don't have the immediate answer, if they're not giving me the immediate answer, bear with me. I will find the answer for you, and spirit will help you overcome any difficulties you're having in a relationship, because I'd love to help you. So contact me through Facebook, through my email address, through my phone number, and the minimum session is 10 minutes for those who are interested in this sort of thing and want to develop a better relationship, a better family, as I guess is a better way of looking at it. I love you guys. Have a beautiful weekend. Enjoy autumn. Bye.